Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Every Wednesday afternoon, we bring an expert in to answer your questions and to give you free advice. And today I'm chatting to paediatric occupational therapist and feeding therapist, Teresa Foley. Teresa, good afternoon. How are you?
How are you?
Thanks. Not too bad. Just first of all, like, is there anything in particular that causes somebody to become a fussy eater?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I suppose it's important to say that picky eating or fussy eating can be a very normal stage of development. So lots of children between the ages of 18 months to 2 years will start to refuse food that they previously would have eaten. And although it can be quite alarming for parents, it's usually not something to worry about. And there's something called neophobia, which lots of toddlers will display. And that's the fear of new foods. Most children will move past this within about 2 years, and that will still fall under the realm of kind of typical picky eating. If it starts to persist beyond 2 years, or if you start to see children start to eliminate particular food groups, like entire groups of food they don't want to eat anymore, or if they're struggling things with maybe eating outside the home, then we start to become a little bit more concerned and you might be kind of heading into the area of something like problem eating.
Okay.
But for the majority of people, they do tend to move past this.
Now, I don't want to upset any parents, right? But is fussy eaters, like, is it a great title? Is it a great title to give your child so they're a fussy eater? I always think there's something jars at me when I hear
that. I completely agree with you. I think it's quite judgment laden, to be honest.
Oh, sure, she's the fussy eater.
Yeah,
one, you know?
I know. And I actually have found in my practice that actually sometimes children will then start to identify themselves as the fussy eater. You know,
I'm the fussy eater.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm the fussy eater in the house. And some children will actually start to use it as an identity thing. And they'll say, oh, well, I don't eat vegetables because I'm the fussy eater in my house. You know, so they start to embody that. So I do ask parents to be quite conscious of what they say around the children, because oftentimes, even if we think the child isn't listening, they actually are picking up on that. I prefer to use the term picky eater. Some people call it selective eating, anxious eating, something that has a little bit less judgment to it, to be honest.
Now, loads of questions coming in, Teresa, for you. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. My 4-year-old is grazing and snacking constantly throughout the day, but rarely sits to eat a meal. Is it something they will improve with? From Kathleen.
Okay, thanks so much for that question. Interestingly, this is something parents talk to me about a lot in my practice. And I think we all kind of think that if a child is struggling to eat, if they're looking for food all the time, that must be a good thing. You know, well, if they're not eating, but then they come to us looking for snacks, okay, give them what they want. Interestingly, the evidence shows that children who can sit down to eat a meal at the table or wherever they're comfortable, if they can eat a meal in one sitting, they will actually take in more food. So what I suggest to parents is to try and just start spacing out the snacks a little bit. And again, the evidence shows that if you're trying to get a child to eat well, or maybe even to think about eating a different food to what they normally take, children eat best about 2 to 2.5 hours after their last snack or meal. That's quite a long gap compared to maybe a child who's looking for a snack every 45 minutes or an hour or so. So try and space out those snacks, even gradually. You know, and the child might not be happy when you do it at the start, but that's the advice I give to parents all the time. And then if some children don't actually like to decision eat a meal, try and make a little meal out of the snacks, you know, so maybe get 3 other snacks, put it on a plate, put it up at the table and call it a meal.
A meal. This texter says, my toddler weaned onto solids initially really well as a baby and he was a great grubber. Their words, not mine. We're now having problems though, because he doesn't like any food or purees with lumps in it. He turns his head away, spits it out. The GP said it's fine to keep going with the weaning. I can't seem to make any progress though. We're still stuck on baby pouches. I'm worried I could be doing something wrong.
Oh, that's really hard. I empathise with that parent. You know, sometimes we can hear, oh, just keep going and you'll be fine. In my professional advice, I think watch and wait is actually not the right advice in this situation, because children who present with difficulties with feeding or eating, the longer it goes on, the more likelihood is that those difficulties will become ingrained and kind of can become difficulties around food. So particularly when babies and children are in the toddler stage of, we want them to be able to move through the different textures. So from the very kind of smooth purees onto the thicker purees onto kind of lumpier foods. So I would be looking at what is going on for this little toddler here in terms of his what we call oral motor skills. Is he able to do things like, is he, you know, chewing on his hands, or what did he chew on his hands as a baby? How is he now with coordination of his, I think he might actually benefit from seeing somebody like an occupational therapist, speech and language therapist, just for some assessment of his skills in that area. We don't want him to develop any of these aversions to food.
Okay, so maybe that parent, if they want to follow up, they could contact you or any OT follow up on that. Okay,
yeah, for sure.
This listener's daughter was two in August. They have a couple of allergies with regards to milk, wheat and oats. She eats well in the morning and in creche, but dinner seems to be an issue. Even if she's eaten it before and enjoyed it, sometimes she won't eat anything. Other times we can't fill her. It's really inconsistent. We always eat at the same time and eat the same food as her. Any hacks would be grateful.
Okay, well, I suppose the first thing to say is you're doing the right thing by eating with your child, eating the same food as her. So that is great. I suppose one thing, if she's two and she's coming home from creche at the end of the day, she's probably exhausted. You know, by the time she sits down with her parents in the evening time, when you think about it, dinner time, maybe it's 6 or half 6 for a 2-year-old. They're probably going to bed at 7 o'clock or 7:30. That would be like you or I sitting down to eat at maybe 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. So my first piece of advice would be to try, maybe at the weekend, you know, when she's at home from creche, see how she does at other times of day. Maybe give her smaller amounts of food in the evening, because she has probably eaten her fill at creche during the day and it's just too late in the day to be trying to see how she gets on.
Okay. 087 1400 106 if you have a question for Teresa Foley today. Listeners looking for advice for a 3-year-old who still won't feed themselves. They will not pick up a spoon. They want us to feed him by hand for most foods. Will only eat food themselves if it's toast or crackers. He seems to have major food and texture aversions. Even if he's starving and has dinner in front of him, he still won't feed himself.
Okay, bless him. That's really hard for the child and for the parents as well. There's a lot going on with this query. The initial things that would concern me about this case are the fact that he seems to have issues with both sensory processing. So when you think about it, eating is a very sensory experience for all of us. You know, there's lots of different textures, tastes, smells, even where you eat can be a noisy environment with cooking food or whatever. Does this child have some issues with being able to tolerate wet and messy textures of food? Also, the fact that he can only pick up things like toast or crackers at 3 years of age, we would expect him to be able to pick up other objects. So I would say this little boy definitely needs to see an occupational therapist or maybe a speech and language therapist, somebody with experience in feeding, for
sure. Okay, that's the advice there. Yeah. Please ask Teresa about a 12-month-old who is really bad at feeding. He just doesn't seem to enjoy food. He'll eat some things, for example, like a Cheerio. He'd chew on that and be fine with it, so I don't think it's to do with lumps. But then he'd gag and vomit on baby porridge, even if it's not lumpy. But if it is lumpy, he'll absolutely vomit. He can eat yogurts quite okay, has hated puree foods since he started weaning about 6 months ago. If he doesn't like something, he doesn't just spit it out. He'll actually vomit it up around 3 times over that one spoon or food of, or piece of food that he's eaten. He's about 10.5 kg, so he's not underweight. Any advice? I find it quite stressful.
Okay, that is very stressful for those parents. I guess in this instance, I'd probably be looking backwards to the baby's history before I look forward. So I'd definitely be considering the medical history there, and no harm in getting this little boy seen by the GP also. Oftentimes, if there's a history of things like reflux or maybe difficulties as an infant with things like bottle or breastfeeding, it can actually contribute to the baby's further development and tolerance then of weaning onto solids. Again, I'd be looking at how is the little baby with tolerating other things in his mouth? Does he chew on his hands? Because actually these kind of things, even though they don't involve food, they're actually very, very crucial feeding skills for a little one. It sounds like he's having very big reactions to certain foods. And I would wonder, does he have some kind of, again, issue with sensory processing? You know, I know the mum is saying there he can tolerate a Cheerio, but that's actually a very dry food when you think about it. Cheerios are dry and crunchy.
And they're hard, yeah.
They're very hard. But then something like the porridge, which is, she's saying baby porridge, it is still quite wet and lumpy. So there, I think there's something going on there with, you know, textures and kind of his ability to cope with that in his mouth and his ability to move those foods around his mouth. On my website, The Feeding Therapist, I do have different resources that parents might find useful just around those kind of development of feeding skills and the different sensory processing elements to that. So it might be worth having a look at that.
Yeah. This texter has twins, almost three. One twin has always refused veg and refuses most foods, Teresa. They'll only eat meat, fruit, cereal and bread. A very defiant toddler. Okay. Do I keep offering cereal if the dinner is not eaten or let them go hungry? I follow all other guidelines, have her involved in cooking, sitting down, for mealtimes, etc. There's no sensory or developmental issues.
Okay, so it sounds like this mum is doing loads of fabulous things. You know, she's following all the right advice. My broad advice there would be exposure without expectation. So, you know, continue to offer the child the vegetables. Now, she might have to be a little bit creative in how she offers them. But the main thing is we want the child to continue to be exposed to vegetables, but with no pressure to actually eat them. So even if she can manage, if the child can manage to do things like, you know, I know she's only small, but maybe help with preparing a pizza or something. So can she help the mum put peppers on the pizza? Again, no pressure to eat it, but maybe, or can she help the mum put carrots into a stew, something like that, or even wash the carrots while the mum is making them. It's just about that exposure without any pressure to eat, but continuous exposure. Because what happens is, you know, we all do it. If the child is refusing something, you kind of go, well, sure, what's the point? If it's just going to be thrown back at me every day. I'm just going to be feeding the bin. And but then what happens is the child's diet and food intake just further narrows. So we need to continue. I have a lovely resource on my website for ways for children to become involved in mealtimes without eating the food.
Quick one. My child eats tiny portions. They'll eat dinner, but really small amounts, not underweight, but I worry about the lack of nutrients.
That's a good question. I guess if they're eating a wide variety of foods, then again, I'd be wondering, are they fatiguing? Are they getting tired very quickly at mealtimes? Is there something going on? Where I'd look at where they're sitting. Are they able to sit up at the table? Are they sitting in a nice supported position? Or are they slouched down? Have a look at those kind of external factors going on for mealtimes and see how they're coping with those.
A lot of questions, Teresa, we didn't get to. We'll have to bring you back again on another Wednesday afternoon to answer our listeners' queries. That is Teresa Foley, occupational therapist and feeding therapist as well. You can get more information on her website.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News.